Hey, what's up, podcast? It's Jeff. And before we jump into this awesome episode of Teach Better Talk, I wanted to give you a little preview of a couple of the sessions that are coming to the Teach Better Conference this November 8th and 9th. If you're not already registered, you can go over to teachbetterconference.com, see all the amazing speakers and presentations that we have coming, and also get your registration. Make sure you use discount code PODCASTTALK to save $50. Here are just two of the sessions that you will be able to come see as told by the presenters bringing them to the Teach Better Conference. I hope to see you in November.
Good day, everybody. This is Melanie Rucker from Northwest Missouri, the Show Me State, and I will be presenting on Believe Every Life is Essential, Valued, and Empowered at the Teach Better Conference, November 8th and 9th in Akron, Ohio, and would love, love, love to meet all of you. On that day, we will be talking about student voice, flexibility, student choice within the classroom, really just talking and looking at designing our day around children and what they need, and really hearing and acting on what they're telling us some education could look like for them. So please register today before it's too late at teachbetterconference.com. See you in November.
Hi, my name is Erin Hall. I'm from Rhode Island, and I'm thrilled to be presenting at this year's Teach Better Conference in Akron, Ohio. I'll be talking about the topic of supporting young educators in your community. As a young teacher myself, the statistic that about 50% of new teachers across the nation burn out before they reach their fifth year is terrifying. So let's change that narrative. In my presentation, Say Yes, Supporting Young Educators in Your Community, we'll be looking at some of the data and the challenges and developing some community-based strategies to support all beginning teachers in your community. So I hope you join me on Saturday, November 8th and 9th. The registration link is at teachbetterconference.com. See you there.
You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 112 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, but you already knew that. Come on. We're at 112 episodes and you know I'm with that Jeff Gargis guy. What's up, Jeff?
Whoa. I just get that like there's nothing? Just that Jeff Gargis guy?
You're just that Jeff Gargis dude that you're, that's, you know, Ray Hewart's co-host.
Oh, yeah, most people don't even know me, my name. They just know me as Ray. Like, who's the guy? Yeah, Ray's host. Ray's co-host. That guy. Yeah, I get it. I'm awesome, Ray. I had to give you a little bit of hard time for that, but I'm super awesome. I love recording podcasts. I love chatting with educators and hearing their story. And I'm not going to lie, I love doing it all as your co-host.
Can we talk about how we're recording on a Wednesday and we never do that? And so today is like a special day between you and me that we get to spend extra time together this week.
Well, you know, it was an important episode we wanted to get done with Mike. And we're super glad we were able to figure it out on a Wednesday because he records his podcast on Mondays as well. So it was getting really hard to find a date. So yeah, it's kind of cool. You and I get to chat again where sometimes we don't on Wednesdays. Hi, I'm good. I'm doing really well, Ray. Really
I'm gonna well. Make fun of you that you said we usually don't talk on Wednesdays, but like we do. We're just usually recording podcasts.
I know. You're right. Well, let me flip it. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I want our listeners to get into this episode because it was a little bit of a longer one, but it was an awesome episode, which is why we didn't want to cut any of it out. But something I wanna make sure that we highlight is the meeting of Mike and I was a little strange. I was invited to be a part of a conference in Miami. Oh no, not Miami, in Orlando. And I literally got on a bus with, and I wasn't even sure it was the right bus. I just got on a bus to try and get to the conference center. And I met Mike, and now we have interacted with Mike multiple times. He's doing really cool things in education. But the reason I wanted to bring that up, I know we talk about it a little bit more in the podcast recording, is that you never really know when you're going to meet someone. Like you never know when that moment's going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to highlight really quick the importance of networking. I really believe that every moment is an opportunity for a connection. And I say that in a lot of capacities, but specifically for networking, that was a huge focus for our upcoming Teach Better conference. So before we dive into this episode, Jeff, I want you to talk about kind of the networking opportunities that we have at the conference. That's, you know, actually a few weeks away, November 8th and 9th, because that to me is one of the most valuable parts of going to any conference, but specifically the one that we're setting up for in this November.
Yeah. So that's a big piece. The networking has always been a big one for me. You know, I believe there are a lot of really awesome conferences out there. And you can go learn a million different things and really got to grab a lot of value. But I think one of the biggest pieces of value you can grab at any conference is, you know, is the relationships that you get and you create there. So that was really big focus on, you know, for for us to create it. You know, we kept it small by design. And obviously there's a little piece of that it's a heck of a lot, you know, it's the first year. It's a lot less expensive when you keep it smaller, but that wasn't the primary driver. We had an opportunity to keep to go bigger, and we went smaller because we wanted to just sort of be small and cozy and friendly so that you had the opportunity to connect with people and actually spend some time with people and have the opportunity to get to know them, not just go to a session and watch someone present and grab that value, but then have conversations with them, you know, mingle and things of that nature. So we do have some networking events that we've got set up specifically for that are fairly casual, but organized so that we can go and spend some time together in a casual setting where you can just kind of get to know the person and build a relationship.
Casual, like a casual dress, or casual as in you get to chit chat?
Casual, like, and you get to chit chat.
I'm bringing my prom dress to wear.
You're not bringing your prom dress. Get out of here. No, like chit chat, like a casual in the sense of we're not the after party. I'm calling after parties. The nighttime networking events aren't organized in the sense of where they're super structured and, you know, we're doing X, Y, Z and stuff. They're just meant for us to get together and hang out and spend some time together so you can get to know people on a more personal level.
It's so awkward. I already ordered my tux. Now I don't know what I'm going to do with that.
Well, you know, you can wear that. Like, it still look good. It's all good.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
And then during the event, it's just, you know, we have little things. We have a cool scavenger hunt that's all built around networking and stuff. So a lot of really cool little things that we're trying to do to give people opportunities to connect with each other and grow those relationships. Because I agree with you, Ray. I think they're super, super important. So
I love it. Well, I think I am ready to dive into Mike's episode, as long as our listeners promise that they have ordered the Teach Better book and they are going apart, or they're going through the book study, because I've been seeing a lot of tweets recently of people participating in that book study, and it could not make me more excited that they are on this pursuit of better. I cannot wait for all of the excitement during the conference where we get to talk about all the things going on.
Awesome. So we're going to get into this episode. I'm going to do a really quick one here just in case you don't already know Mike Washburn. He is the head of curriculum and training for the Canadian company Logix Academy, which is a massive, awesome company doing some really great things in Canada. And he's also the host of the On Education podcast, which is phenomenal. We talk about that. We talk about where they come from, what they do. Mike is phenomenal, super fun, and there's so much value in this episode. So I don't want to waste any more time. Let's get right into it. Episode 112, believe it or not, with Mike Washburn. Hey, what's up, podcast? It's Jeff. Don't worry. We're going to get right back in the episode, but I want to jump in and make sure that you are aware of the 2020 IDEACon. That's IDEACon. It's formerly known as the ICE Conference in Illinois. Ray talks about it all the time. It was one of the first conferences she ever went to, and now we're super excited. She's going back every year. We're going to be there this February 24th through 27th, 2020, at the Renaissance Schomburg Hotel and Convention Center in Schomburg, Illinois. I hope that you're going to join us. So this is an awesome conference. Whether you are a technology specialist, an IT professional, a librarian, an instructional coach, pre-service teacher, or anyone in education, this is a conference that's going to offer you nationally recognized speakers and over 400 different training opportunities for you to go learn and grow. So make sure you head over to ideaillinois.org or go to the bit.ly. It's bit.ly/IDEACon for all the information that you need, including registration, which opens up in early October. I look forward to seeing you February 24th through the 27th, 2020 at IDEACon. Now let's get back to the episode. All right, we are here and we are talking with Mike Washburn. And Mike, dude, it is so awesome to have you on the podcast tonight. We have been connected for a little bit, but we met in June. We actually got to meet in person. We hung out. We played games with Michael Matera. We, Yeah. We laughed a lot at a few of those games. We've chatted a lot since. We're in a Voxer group together, but with other edgy podcasters, so we have a lot of interaction. But this is the first time getting you on the show, obviously, so we're super excited about that, man. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. I actually met Ray at FETC.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mike and I are very old friends.
On the bus, and we didn't know each other, but everyone else we knew us. Like, we had, we had mutual friends, all of them, basically. And then we were like, holy crap, how do we not know each other? Out of all the, it was pretty hysterical, but we ended up talking the whole time. And then she actually came on Education, like, a couple hours later when we were live at FETC. So it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I want to talk a lot about your podcast because it was wonderful to be on it. I cannot believe that we just bumped each other in Florida at FETC, and now look where it's been now. It's been incredible being connected to you. But before we get into all that, Mike, I want to make sure our listeners get to know you. We're going to do a little bit better talking about you than we did on the bus, because on the bus, I was trying to figure out, I'm like, who is this guy and why does he know all my friends? But would you mind kind of sharing with our listeners, like, all that you do? Because, oh my gosh, you do a ton.
Okay. How much time do you have?
15 hours.
15 minutes. Yeah. Oh, 15 hours. Whoa, okay. I thought I was going crazy. All right, I guess we got time, Mike. You're good.
I am the, I have a day job. My day job is the head of curriculum and training for a company called Logix Academy in Canada. Logix Academy is probably Canada's largest, definitely Canada's best known STEM and robotics provider. We're the official representatives for Wonder Workshop and Make Block in Canada. So that takes up a lot of our time. We also represent a bunch of other companies and robot platforms. My role there is to teach teachers how to use the devices that we sell and teach them and train them and talk to them about how to take these really cool things that are probably sitting on library shelves collecting dust and actually using them in the classroom to engage their kids and get them psyched about STEM and robotics and coding and programming and game design and all of those sorts of things. So that's my day job. I travel a lot. I go to conferences all over Canada and speak and do sessions pretty regularly. I'm about to hit a busy season between now and February where I'm at probably about 7 or 8, maybe even 10 different conferences or events. So it's a little hectic. I am the host of On Education podcast. On Education was started in March 2018. It's a passion project. I always say it's probably the best thing I've ever done in my life. I'm pretty proud of it. And love that we get to talk to some of the best teachers and educators and administrators on the planet and share their story and talk about what they do and how they do it and what kind of gets them going. We are fairly topical. We talk about, the news and what's happening in the world. We are also pretty well known for not dodging the tough stuff. So we talk a lot about things like politics and controversy and things like race and equity and diversity and rights and stuff like that, because we think that those things are also important conversations to have in education. After that, I do a bunch of other kind of small things. Like you said, I do a lot. I do some video stuff with my kid. I do a lot of writing, a lot of blogging, and I'm kind of sort of working on a book. So I'm doing a lot of different things.
A lot going on. And it really is a great podcast. You're right. You guys really don't shy away. You get into deep topics and it's really a lot of value. So if you're listening right now, go subscribe. We always talk about it here about how we love it if you give us a rating and review and subscribe, because that helps us reach more. The same thing for On Education, so go do that. You won't regret it. It's a great show. So Mike, let's stay on the topic of that, because I always love talking to other podcasters. So I have two sort of podcast related questions for you. One is, it's always interesting getting the mic flipped on you.
Yeah.
So do you because you're used to being behind the mic when the guy asking the questions, right? Kind of leading the conversation and stuff. Is it weird for you to be on the other side? Do you feel any sort of like an additional level of nerves, or is it fairly relaxing for you? Like how are you really feeling right now? I guess
I'm getting better at it. I've been probably on six or seven, maybe eight podcasts now as the guest. I would say I didn't kind of put in my best quote unquote, I don't know, performance. I tend to talk, you know, stream of consciousness type stuff. So it kind of just kind of comes out of me, and sometimes it's not completely coherent, or at least not in a way that I would like it to be after when I listen to it. But I'm getting better at it. It's different. It's completely different. I love listening to other people talk, in terms of like, I'm one of those people that can sit and listen to a lecture about, you know, whatever topic. Like I'm a history major, so I sat in a lot of lectures when I was in my undergrad, but I loved them, to be honest. There are lots of people that hate that style and that model of learning. I can sit and listen to a lecturer talk about something all day. So I love listening to people talk about what they're passionate about and do it with, you know, with substance and get into the weeds on stuff. So I like that. I was on a podcast recently called the P3 podcast. It's called the Personal Playlist podcast. And it was a podcast where they asked you to pick three songs. And then talk about those songs in the context of your life and your experience and how you frame those in terms of education. And I swear to God, I've never been more nervous for a podcast, any sort of interview in my life. And I was booked on it for like 2 months, but I was thinking about it constantly and wondering what songs I should pick. And so it was in my head completely to like think about what I was going to do and say. But it was a great experience. And so much fun to be on. So I've enjoyed being on other people's podcasts because they're all different. Everyone's style's a little bit different. Everyone's, the way that they work and they approach things is a little bit different. So it's been fun to see the other side when you're a guest, when you're getting like things like notes and how they set up for the calls, and just kind of almost the logistics stuff is also really interesting.
So did we make you nervous, Mike? That's what I want to know. Like, why weren't you nervous to be on Teach Better Talk? Did we make you nervous?
I'm pretty comfortable around you two. Jeff makes me a little nervous. Ray, you're pretty great. What? So I'm not worried about.
Hold on a second. How do I make you nervous? Shots fired.
You're so scary and intimidating, boss.
Well, no. Like, how do I make you nervous?
You don't. I was just messing around.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure our what was the game we played at game night? We had to do the pitches.
That's the best game, and now I cannot remember the name of it at all. So much fun.
Yeah, whatever it was, you were basically doing startup pitches. Oh, it was hilarious
with the cards.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure like neither one of us should be any sort of nervous or uncomfortable in any way around each other after that game. The things that were said, I think, is
he's saying I'm just so warm and inviting that you had to be second.
That's wow. All right. Well, I'm going to edit all this out. So tell us. I this is where I always get interested too. Is like, can you tell us, kind of share where did the podcast come from? When was it that you said, you know what, I'm going to start a podcast? And then
the origin
story. And then how did you get to it? When did you go, I'm going to start it? And then you go, and this is what it's going to be like.
Sure.
It's always one that I always enjoy telling our story with Ray and I and stuff, but I love digging into other podcasts and figure out like, what was it that made you say, yep, time to do it. And this is how I want to set it up.
Our origin story is pretty good too. So I enjoy telling it for sure. So Glenn and I met in the summer of 2017 at the Schoology Next conference in Chicago, Illinois. And he didn't know me and I didn't know him other than that he was a Schoology ambassador and I went to a couple of his sessions. But I don't know where it kind of came from, but after we met and talked to each other and stuff, I sent him a message through Schoology, because my school used Schoology and he obviously did as well. I sent him a message through their messaging system and I said, listen, I have a weird feeling that you might be interested in a project that I'm thinking about doing. I'd like to start a podcast. And Glenn didn't even know what a podcast was. So he kind of brushed me off a little as this kind of whack job who was kind of just swinging at things and throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks kind of thing. But I kept on it a little bit. I said, listen, take a look at what a podcast is. And you know, let me know what you think. And then I followed up a month or so later and he said he was going through, you know, a work transition, at the moment. But he was kind of interested in to get back to him. So I gave him a couple months and then in the January 2018, I followed up again and I said, listen, I still feel this. I feel like I want to do a podcast and I feel like I don't want to do it myself. And I just have this weird feeling that you're the dude to do this with. And I don't know where it comes from, but I seriously, it was like I was cold calling Glenn to be on a podcast with me. I swear to God. And he said, okay, you know, whatever, let's do this. So we started working in January. We released our first episode in March. We were able to get a sponsor. Schoology decided to sponsor us right off the bat, which was unbelievable, to be honest. We were off to the races. We were able to do get a lot of really great guests kind of early on. We kind of, you know, leaned on Glenn and some of the contacts that he had early on. But it kind of exploded. It took off in a bit of a shocking way, to the point where, you know, the numbers are, I don't know what everyone else's numbers are, but I feel really good about where we're at and what we're doing. And I've been really happy with, you know, the work that we've done. And I think we've made a difference sometimes, and that's been special as well.
That's super cool. I love that. Love diving into that. So someone who's been listening, you got this awesome job, we get to travel and you speak at events and you got this podcast that's doing amazing. It might be hard for some people to realize that Mike's probably had a couple setbacks, a couple failures a time again as well. So we love talking about this on the show. So I'm excited to hear your story here, but can you share a story with us that at a time that you've had a failure, and then, you know, it's kind of take us there with you. What happened? Why was it a failure? How did it make you feel? How did you overcome it? And what did you take away from that experience?
So I started my the teaching job that I had recently before I left the classroom was as a computer science teacher at a private school. And when they hired me, they basically told me to throw out what they had done before, everything, and start again. And they gave me fairly decent autonomy to do whatever it was that I wanted to do. And I don't know if anyone's ever written a curriculum from scratch before. Like, I know people have, I'm saying anyone who's listening, but it's very hard to do and to kind of get everything and make sure you're touching on everything you want to touch on. And, you know, you got to cover things like assessment and, you know, making sure you're scaffolding things properly and that the lessons are engaging and interesting. And so, you know, my first year at this school, I was literally there from probably about 6 a.m. until easily 7 or 8 at night every day, the whole school year. Because I was just, I guess I'll say I was in over my head for sure, like in the sense that I was just, it was so much work and I was doing everything for the first time. And so when you're doing everything for the first time, obviously there's lots of mistakes. I tell in my keynote that I give, I tell the story about a video project that I was really excited to do. I wanted to do a video project where students talked about a world leader in history that they wanted to do. It was in collaboration with obviously their social studies class where they had to work on the content. But for me, it was a video assignment where they had to do transitions and music and voiceover and background video and all in green screen and all this other cool stuff. You know, what I didn't plan, like, so I had great assessment. I had nailed like the engagement. They were on fire. They loved it. I gave them choice. They could do the video however they wanted to. You know, when you think of all those kind of check boxes of, you know, of things good teachers do, student voice, check, student choice, check, you know, engagement, check, you know, letting them do what, who they wanted to talk about, follow their passions, check, check, kind of thing. I was feeling pretty proud of myself, to be honest, that I had checked all these boxes off. And then I didn't realize that I had to like be there when they were doing all of this video recording. This, like, some of them were acting scenes with other people and writing scripts for plays. I had obviously lots of kids that wanted to use the very limited amount of green screens we had and devices at the time. And then had kids that were wanting to kind of stay late after school and do, you know, editing work. And then I had to grade all of them. And I had, at the time, I had 70 grade 8 students. This was a grade 8 assignment. I had 70 grade 8 students. So I had to grade 70 5-minute videos. And it almost sucked the life right out of me. And so I talk about that because I feel like I had nailed all of the things that you want to nail, and I crushed it, and the results were amazing, absolutely stunning. But I had to figure out ways to like distill the things I really liked about that assignment into something that was a lot easier for the kids to do in terms of process, and a lot easier for me to assess in terms of grading as well. There were failures like that constantly through the entire couple years that I was in the core designing phase of this curriculum. And so, you know, I learned a lot from those kind of failures that were all similar in nature. I made that mistake multiple times with assignments I was super pumped about giving, and then not realizing that I had done way too much myself. Not even talking about like the kids, you know, we always worry about kids biting off more than they can chew and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, this was me getting so geeked up about an assignment that I didn't really realize. I didn't stop to think whether I should do it and if I could have done it better or smarter. I needed to learn how to teach better is what I'm saying.
Well played.
Well, Mike, it's funny. I mean, even throughout admitting to multiple failures, I think there's so much value in the ideas that you've shared thus far in this interview, that you are so eager to take risks. I think that's something that as educators, we always are continuously working on, is how do we take risks that best supports our students? And I really love that really echoed throughout multiple explanations that you gave us so far. What keeps you excited? You know, you're doing so much. You're obviously very passionate. How do you kind of keep your spark lit?
It's a great question. Speaking to that, I mean, one of the things that I've learned to do in the last year and a half or so is to not be afraid. Like, I'm pretty fearless right now. And maybe that's bad. Maybe that's, I don't know what it is, but things seem to be going my way. So I'm gonna roll with it for at least a little while longer, but it means that I'm not closing doors just because I've never done something before, and I'm not turning away opportunities at, you know, at first glance. I'm having a lot of conversations with people where I'm just trying to find, you know, either initiated by them or by me, where we're just trying to find common ground. You know, having conversations with, you know, this is what I do. Why don't you tell me what you do? And let's see if there's a way we can work together, because I really like what it looks like you're doing, and I'd like to be a part of it in some way. I'm having a lot of those kind of conversations, which is exciting, because, you know, that's when interesting opportunities and doors open. Obviously, I'm completely geeked up about the podcast still. It's like I've said, it is the best thing I've ever done in my life. And we're rolling really well. Have a lot of great things coming. We are the official podcast for the Impact Education Summit in or Impact Education Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in a few months. And that means we're going to be doing a lot of really interesting work with the conference themselves, live shows, interviews that are going to be kind of piped through the whole conference, a lot of really, really neat kind of fireside chats post keynote, lots of interesting things there. And so we're looking to do a lot more of that sort of stuff because it seems to be something we're good at. As far as my day job goes, one of the things that's happened recently that I'm super excited about is that my company, Logix Academy, has officially become a Microsoft certified training provider. And this means that we can actually do training on Minecraft Education Edition specifically is what we're focusing on, which means that I get to go to schools and talk to teachers about how to use Minecraft in their classroom. And that's something I've been super passionate about kind of my whole career, is games-based learning and gamification. So, you know, super pumped about being able to travel all across Canada and do these free summits, these free Minecraft summits all over Canada, teaching teachers how to use Minecraft. I'm doing a lot of speaking right now, which I love to do. And, you know, like I said, the other projects, the kind of sort of book and stuff like that are all, you know, keeping me awake at night and excited. I'm having a hard time sleeping, mostly because of I called it good stress. Like I've never felt more full of, you know, expectation and anticipation than I feel right now in my life, which is really, really a fun place to be.
Absolutely. You know, you've done, I mean, hundreds of interviews. You continue to connect with educators across the world, around the country. I mean, you're constantly being able to take in advice from others. What is that one piece of advice that you feel like a new teacher or a teacher maybe new to a new building or even just a veteran educator, what do educators really need to hear as the advice to ensure that they are being progressive and doing what's best for their students?
So this is a tough one because I'm a fairly positive person, but I also had a very hard first couple of years experience, as I kind of explained. Like, it was exciting, but I was working 14 hours a day, easily 14 hours a day. I think that, you know, Twitter, Edu Twitter and Edu Instagram can kind of give you, in some cases, a moderately unrealistic idea of teaching and education and what it's like being in a classroom, because you see all of these great classroom designs and flexible seating and, you know, this Harry Potter classroom, which I think is great, you know, all of these special learning environments. But listen, my first year was hard, and I think that if I were to talk to people now about what it's like, you know, in that first year, it's just to have realistic expectations that, you know, not every day is going to be this rainbows and sunshine day. There are going to be days where you're going to come home and just go to bed. And that's fine. You should do that. And there are going to be days where you're going to feel like you're spinning your wheels. That's normal. And there are going to be days where you don't think you got through to any of your kids. That's kind of normal too. But in the end, you know, I think that you get better, you learn more, and you learn how to adapt and change and grow yourself, especially if you're reflective in your practice. You're able to take the things that you've done wrong and or that you're not feeling like you're hitting home runs on and start knocking things out of the park. And it takes time, though. It doesn't happen kind of instantly. It's something that takes work, a lot of work. And as long as you work hard, you keep your mind open, stay reflective, I think is super important. Always be thinking about, you know, how you did that day and what you could do better the next day. That's kind of what I did anyways. And I think it made a big difference. My third and fourth years in the classroom, and going and then going forward. But I noticed after my second year, I noticed that it started to get a little bit better, a lot easier, because I was in a mode, and I could feel myself, you know, easing into the role a lot easier.
Awesome. Really good advice there. I have some advice for you. Get ready. We're going into the six questions in 15 seconds or less. You ready? That was like my, Ray, that was a bad one. That was like horrible.
Well, I think you were just continuously, you're always trying to up your game.
You didn't sell that very well.
Let me go this way. Mike, I think when we were together in Wisconsin back in June, you may very well have won Silicon Valley Startups, which is the game, by the way. That's the game. I don't know why we couldn't think of
it. Up while
I looked it up, yes.
I gave you so much time in one of my answers that you had time to look it up.
I looked it up. So you may have been the winner in that one. I'm just saying. But the real challenge in life is not Silicon Valley Startups game, but actually this question right here. Is that better, Ray? Is that better? At least like a little bit. Normally, it's like a really cheesy, like dad joke, like horrible transition, but it's horrible enough where it's entertaining. At this point, I've lost everyone else. So this is just for us now, Mike. So the goal is the next six questions, your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. We have had a recent guest who tried to do them all in 15 seconds flat total, but that was crazy.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
All right, here we go.
I have too many words.
What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
I talk about Explain Everything all the time as the one tool that you can do anything with. So Explain Everything is the one tool that I would not want to live without.
Give us a book that you're reading right now.
I'm reading four kind of all at the same time. I'm learning Python. I need to know this a little bit better than I do now. So I went to the store and bought four books on Python, and I'm diving in.
Awesome. And who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
I'm going to plug Glenn Irvin. He's the co-host of On Education at Irv Spanish on Twitter. And Cosma just makes my day better every time she tweets. So when I'm looking for a smile or to laugh, I go watch one crazy video that Anne's doing. That's at ANNKOZMA723 Ann Cosma. And obviously the master of games-based learning, Steve Isaacs at Mr_Isaacs. Going over my 15 seconds, I need to shout out Ray for having the best Instagram game on the freaking planet. there is no one, and I've sent Ray private messages about this, but holy man, if there's anyone that does, there's no one that does Instagram better than Ray.
That was the nicest thing ever. You're hysterical.
He's so confused. He thinks you edit these things. It's just not. No, I agree with you, Mike. She's phenomenal in there. So give us a good YouTube channel or website for educators.
I am a giant space nerd. I watch rocket launches all the time. I will I used to show them in front of my class. Everyday Astronaut is a really cool YouTube channel that gets into the weeds on cool space stuff.
Awesome. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
I'm going to give you one of each. Daily, watch a YouTube video or read a Wikipedia article about something that's outside of your wheelhouse. Just one. Doesn't matter what it is. Learn something. Just something small. I don't think you'll regret it. And you'll definitely come across something that'll make you think and maybe change the way you do something. Weekly, make someone's day better by telling them something they've done that you appreciate. You can tell I prepped for this a little bit. Because I think it's super important to tell people when they're doing things that are good. We don't appreciate people enough and verbalize that appreciation enough. Monthly, this is kind of another thing I do in my keynote. Think of a big idea, something you've never done before, and start to make plans to make it happen. Whatever that big idea is, it doesn't matter. It can be something you've always wanted to do or something you're just deciding to do now. But get off your butt and start thinking about how to do it. And then review your progress for the other big ideas you've come up with and keep pushing those things forward.
That was awesome.
Yeah, loving it. So let's wrap it up with the best piece of advice you've ever received.
When I started to get a lot of followers on Twitter and when the podcast started to blow up, I started to have to really think about how I wanted to be perceived publicly, and it's kind of a weird thing to have to think about, but it was something that I thought about a lot. And I came down on this, and that was just to be myself, be exactly who I am, because it's the absolute easiest thing to be. I do what I do for me. So when I do my blog, for example, I write the things I want to write about. And then I just hope that it resonates with other people, that they're interested in what I'm talking about, and that they learn something from it. And if they don't, well, in the end, I write the blog, for example, for me, and it always feels good to write something and talk about what I'm thinking about.
Love it. You know, Jeff, this would be a perfect opportunity for me to tell our listeners that you sent me a message today using one of Mike's suggestions where you told me that you appreciated me, and I really appreciated it, Jeff. So I appreciate you.
I do appreciate you, Ray.
100%. Oh, this is nice.
Isn't it? See, look what he has done. Did you know? We got to stop. Hold on.
This makes me happy.
Everyone who's listening needs to just take a moment and tip your hat or tip your drink, whatever, to Mike, because what he just made happen, that was phenomenal. Ray and I are saying some nice things to each other. Doesn't happen very often.
This is great, guys.
I can play 3-minute Voxer message you sent me.
You know what?
That's amazing.
I am super, super excited that I get to see you this weekend too, Ray. So
I'll
tell the world.
Mike, do you want to come to Ohio? We're all meeting up this weekend.
Is this the conference?
No
way. No, just team meeting.
All right. Team meeting.
We bring Ray out and
I love Ohio.
It's an excuse, yeah.
Ohio's great.
Yeah, you come down, you're not too far.
No, I've been to Ohio a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Mike, the best part is being able to operate on Eastern time.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I live within converting time zones and it kills me.
Oh, because you live in like Illinois, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Like Illinois.
She's always just a step behind.
It's so mean.
So close yet so far away. Like it's like a whole, you're,
yeah.
You might not even, are you more than an hour away from where Jeff is?
Well, I'm an hour time difference and I'm an 8-hour drive.
Oh, 8-hour drive. Okay.
7-hour drive. Don't be dramatic.
Okay, listeners, it feels like 24 and a half hours. I'm not driving it.
Mike and I are only like 5 hours away from each other.
You know what, though, Jeff? Can I call you out now for driving by my house? How many times have you drove by my house and not stopped
twice
to say hi?
This year? So, yeah, but in my defense, I'm on the way up to my... my vacation, you know, like I wave every time, Mike. Yeah. Both ways, out both windows, just in case you see
Mike. If I was coming by your house, I would stop and say
right. I listen, Jeff, I expect a stop at some point in the very near future. I'm sure you're not coming up in the winter, but
no, we won't be up until next summer.
Listen, the spring or summer. We got to make this happen.
We'll have to figure it out. We'll bring it out. I'll have my kids and my wife and stuff with
That's
me.
That's fine.
We'll
I have a pool, man. I have a backyard and a big barbecue. Let's do it.
Sold.
Wait, how am I coming?
Ray, you can come anytime too.
Probably an hour behind, Ray.
Ha ha ha.
You just got to add 7 hours to the drive, but.
Well, you'd be able to come across probably off the top of Michigan across there, but probably still be a pretty long drive for you, Ray. You should probably just stay home.
Whatever. Okay. I want to make sure that you're able to share the ways that our listeners can connect with you, because not everybody can be lucky enough and have the privilege of being in Florida, hop on a bus that I wasn't even sure was the right bus, sit down, spark up a conversation with a random stranger and having met you. So I want to make sure our listeners can connect with you in maybe a more realistic way. So would you mind sharing your Twitter, Instagram, blog, everything in between, so that they can make sure that they not only listen to you, but subscribe to the podcast?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, I'm at Mr. Washburn. That's M-I-S-T-E-R Washburn, W-A-S-H-B-U-R-N. I'm the same on Instagram at Mr. Washburn. Ray's going to give me an Instagram 101 one of these days, and then I'm gonna kick butt on Instagram just like Ray does. I have multiple websites. MikeWashburn.net is my personal website. On Education Podcast is the podcast website. We have a blog there as well, and we obviously post all of our most recent episodes as well. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/Mr. Mike Washburn. I had to go and copy that from Facebook because somehow I screwed up that URL. I don't know. facebook.com/oneducationpod is the On Education Facebook page. I have a multiple YouTube channels with crazy URLs because that's what YouTube does. So I don't know if those, if you do show notes, but if those are show notes, then there you go. I'm not gonna name the URLs. You guys can see them, and we would be here for 45 minutes if I had to rhyme out the URL for my YouTube channels. I have a personal YouTube channel. No, what did I post there? The On Education YouTube channel. And I have one with my kid, Isaac, that is a lot of fun as well. And then stay tuned for other big announcements. There's lots of stuff going on, so I'm always doing stuff, and Twitter's the best place to reach out to me if you want to chat.
I'm loving it. And you know, you can find all the links, resources, everything we mentioned in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those really important links, like those really, really, really long YouTube URLs. We will have all of that over in the show notes over there, so make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating or review, we'd really appreciate that. And then make sure you also go to the show notes, find On Education, subscribe to that, give them a rating review as well. And then let's keep taking it one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share the Teach Better Talk podcast with them. Mike, dude, this was awesome. So glad to have you on. Super excited for all the things that are going for you and the things you have going on and a lot of the stuff you have planned and in your head that's going to come to fruition soon. Super excited about all of that. Love watching you continue to impact and do good things, and super excited for you, man. I really appreciate coming on. Thank you.
You guys are doing amazing things too. So thanks for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.